Today's daf is Ayin Bet. We're going to review a little bit from yesterday because it leads into today. So I put it on the sheet. You can see we're going to have Divrei Rav Huna, and then we're going to have a question Rav Huna from Rabbi Shimon. So Rav Huna had said, okay, you can look at the sheet here. Af agav da amru rabbana machar karka v'shir shnei lanot lefanav yesh lo karka. Right. So even though they said that if you sell karka, then you're and you left over two trees for yourself, what do we say? You get the karka, remember? Mm-hmm. And that's because afilu Rabbi Akiva da'amar mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher, and generally then you would be selling the karka, you would also be giving him the karka, but that's only if it's a bor vidut, right, that don't ruin the land. But ila note that are taking nutrients from the land, there's a concern that what? The owner will say, so basically he says that if you sell the karka and you leave over two trees for yourself, you keep the karka for yourself. Okay? Now, there was a question with that on Rabbi Shimon, because what did Rabbi Shimon say in our Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon omer makdish et hasadeh lo ikdish ela haruv hamurkav sadana shikma. And what's the reason why if you're makdish the sadeh, the assumption is you're matish the field, not the boar and the dut that are in the field, right? If you recall there, Tanakama, the Mishnah said if you're matish the field, you're matish b'ayin yafa, and you're matish everything in the field, including the boar, the gat, all those things, remember? That was Tanakama's shita. Keep that in mind, okay? Tanakama said, even though we're mocher ba'ayin ra'ah, but when it comes to hekdesh, we're matish ba'ayin yafa, just like a matana. And it includes everything. Comes from Shimon, and he modifies that. And he says, wait a minute. We're not makdish everything in the field. We're only makdish the trees. It includes the trees. Now, the charuv and the shikma. Why is that? Because they're yonek from the karka. And the assumption is that you are makdish the field. You are makdish the land. Even the land under the trees. And that was. And then how does that work? Well, if you're makdish the land, right? And here's your tree, and you're not makdish the tree, right? The tree is on its own. Okay, let's just remember. Rav Huna said, if you sell trees, what do we, right? First, right now we're equating, by the way, makdish and mocher, right? What did Rav Huna say? If you sell the two trees, I'm sorry, you keep the two trees for yourself, right? You're keeping the land underneath. It's going to all go along with the trees. I wish I had different colors here. It would be helpful. But anyway, the trees and the land go together because otherwise the guy's going to basically kick you, cut your trees down and say, get out of here. But then, according to Rabbi Shimon, what does he say? Since the land is all hekdesh, and the trees are getting nutrients from the land, even though you really weren't makdish the trees, just like you weren't makdish the boar and the gat and all the things in the field, however, since these trees have hekdesh in them, because the nutrients are hekdesh, therefore the trees are hekdesh. Okay? So what's implied from here, okay, if you look now in the first chart on the page, I kind of wrote it out. I said that according to Rabbi Shimon, makdish sadeh b'li ilanot lo mashayer karka, right? That if you're makdish the field and not the ilanot, you don't leave over any karka because in the end, then your trees, and then in the end, your trees are mukdash. But you weren't intending, let's say, to be makdish the trees, but they're going to be mukdash anyway because you're not mashayer karka. And Rav Huna said, if you sell a field without the trees, you are mashayar karka, right? You keep the land for yourself. So what we have here is basically, are you mashayar karka or are you not mashayar karka when you either makdish or sell trees? That seems to be the contradiction. So we ended yesterday with, oh, don't worry, it's not a contradiction because, right, the end, let's just read it inside, three lines from the bottom of Ayin Aleph Amapet, Rabbi Shimon Damarka Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon says, you don't leave over karka. Why don't you leave over karka? You give over the karka to hekdesh because he holds like Rabbi Akiva, who holds the mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher, in which case you're giving all of the land over to the other owner. In this case, it's hekdesh. Okay, that's what he holds. Rav Huna da'amar karabanan, and Rav Huna hold like chachamim. Rav Huna said, you're mishayer karka. When you sell the field and keep the trees for yourself, you keep the land because you're mocher ba'ayin ra'ah. That sounds like a great answer. There's a small question and answer on it. Then we're going to get to a much bigger question, which is going to reject it entirely. The first small question we saw yesterday, which was, if Rav Huna holds like Chachamim, then what's his chidush bichlal? If you hold mocher ba'ayin ra'ah, then obviously you're not including the karka. So, kirabanam pshita. So the answer, no, nafka minadi, naflei hadrashat elihu. He wants to give you this chiddush, which we've talked about before, that if the trees were to fall, not only do you have the land in order to get nutrients for the trees that exist, but even if the trees were to fall down, you'd be able to replant new trees. That's his chiddush. Okay. That was a very side question. Now we're going to get to a very basic question. Okay, for this, we're going to see the next sheet chart on the page. You can follow along there. Umi matzav mukmat lei l'Rabbi Shimon k'Rabbi Akiva. How can we possibly say that Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Akiva, that mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher? We're going to see now from a different place, a different braita, that it's clear that Rabbi Shimon holds not like Rabbi Akiva, okay? And he's going to be the opposite extreme. He's even going to be more ayin ra'ah than chachamim, okay? We have Rabbi Akiva who holds ayin yafa, if you sell. We have chachamim who hold ayin ra'ah. What do they say? But when it comes to Magdish, remember, Chachamim said it's Ayin Yafa. That was our Mishnah. Our Mishnah had this machloke, Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim. Okay, let's just look back for 1 minute so you can see it inside. Chachamim in our Mishnah said, HaMagdish HaTasadeh HiKdish Et Kula. Right? Your Magdish, everything, because when it came to Hekdish, okay, for this I did a little chart at the bottom of the page. You can see, okay, the last chart on the page has, if you're mocher, according to Rabbi Akiva, whether you're mocher or you're magdish, it's always ayin yafa. Chachamim say, if you're mocher, it's ayin ra'ah, and magdish is ayin yafa. And now we're going to show, we haven't seen it yet, but the Rabbi Shimon holds, even a magdish is ayin ra'ah. And therefore, he's certainly not going to be able to say, we can't say like we wanted to say, the Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Akiva. Can't possibly be. Okay, where do we see this? First, we're going to see a braita. Then we're going to basically explain that this braita can't be Rabbi Akiva, can't be Chachamim. It must be Rabbi Shimon. And that's going to prove to us that Rabbi Shimon holds that even a makdish is makdish ba'ayin ra'ah. Okay, it's going to be process of elimination. Because we're going to have a case where the makdish is makdish ba'ayin ra'ah. We know it's not Chachamim, because Chachamim in our Mishnah said, makdish et kula, it's ayin yafa. We certainly know it's not Rabbi Akiva, because he holds even mocher is mocher ba'ayin yafa. And therefore, it's going to match Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, and therefore we're going to have to say that Rabbi Shimon holds that a makdish is mocher ba'ayin ra'ah across the, right, even a makdish, which means that he can't possibly hold like Rabbi Akiva, and we're going to have to re-answer that, okay, we're going to have to reject that terutz and come up with a different one. So here's our braita. V'hatanya. Ha-makdish shloshai lanot mimata asara lebeit se'ah harei yikdish et hakarka ve'et ha'ilanot shebenehem. Okay, this goes, we should really do some background before we start reading this. There's a concept of being about being podeh a field. If you're makdish the field, you're podeh a field, and it depends on, okay, this is all about erchin, right? The value in the Torah, it talks about if you're makdish a person, what's the value you have to bring to the Beit HaMikdash. So in this section about that, it talks in Vayikra Perek Kaf Zayin, it's toward the bottom of your sheet. It says here, there's two different types of field, if you remember. There's a sdeh chuzah and a sdeh mikneh. Okay, sdeh mikneh is a sdeh that you buy, and a sdeh achuzah is one that you inherited from your ancestors. It's ancestral land. So depending on which field you are makdish, it's going to affect the value of the field. Okay, for a sdeh mikneh, it's going to be whatever, since you bought this field, it's going to be whatever the value of the field is. But when it comes to a sdeh chuzah, an ancestral field, then the Torah is going to have a particular amount. It has nothing to do with what your field is worth. There's a set amount. We're going to read this right now. V'im misteh tzivayikra kavzayim pasuk tetzayim. V'im misteh chuzato yakdish ish la'ashem hayar kachal lafi zero. It depends how much zera there is, okay? But there's an amount per, right? It doesn't depend on how much there is, but how big your field is, but it's going to be not based on the value of that, but there's going to be, for X amount, it's going to be valued at X amount of money. Zera chomer seorim b'chamishim shekel kesef. Okay, if you have this amount of seorim, we're not going to get into all the details exactly of the amounts, but it's going to be 50 shekel kesef, okay? 50 shekelim. The imishnat hayovel, okay, we're going to skip all the stuff about the yovel, right? Then they figure out how many years are left to the yovel, etc. And then, v'haya, now to the end, okay? Kaf bet. If it's a stemikna, someone, something you bought, Then v'chishav lo ha-kohen et mechsat ha-erkacha ad shnat ha-yovel v'natan et ha-erkacha b'yomahu kodesh la-Hashem. Since that field is going to revert back to its original owner at the yovel year, so you only own it for X amount of years, depending on where you are in the yovel cycle, they're going to evaluate how much that land is worth until from now until the yovel, and they evaluate at that point what it's worth, and that's the amount you pay. So when it comes to the steachuzah, there's a set amount. When it comes to the stemikneh, it's going to depend on what the land is valued at. So, hikdish l'shay lano mimatasara lebetzea. Okay, matasara lebetzea we've seen before, which is if you have 10 trees in an area where you can grow a betzea of crops, so the assumption is that all those trees, if they're spread out about evenly, are getting their nutrients, all the ground is serving the trees. That's the exact amount of the ratio where all the land would be being used for the trees. So if you're makdish three trees in this type, in this amount, this area, harei hikdish et hakarka ve'et ha'ilanot shebenehem. At that point, you're makdish, since the land serves the trees, because we're saying if it's in this exact ratio, then the land is serving the trees. Therefore, wherever these three trees are, all the land in between it, and any small trees that sprouted up, there's a bit of a debate about what exactly these small trees are, but we're assuming that there's small kind of things in between. Those three trees and the land in between them and whatever small trees there might be are all mukdashim, because the land is serving the trees.
That suggests that they're all next to each other.
Right. It suggests that they're next to each other, yes. Okay. Leficha keshehu podeh. So therefore, when he's podeh these trees, okay, so now, by the way, we're talking about in a steachuza. So when he is podeh, he does the pidyon on these trees, right? Because remember, you don't exactly give the field to the Beit HaMikdash, you take the value of it. So you take the value. Podeh beit zera chomer sorim b'chamishim shekel kesef. Okay, so then you do the whole amount based on, right, the amount it says in the Torah. Pachomikan o yeter alken. Okay, whether it's more dense or less dense, right? In other words, then this 10 within this area. Oh, shehik disham. By the way, if they're more dense, the assumption is you're going to end up uprooting the trees because they won't grow properly. And if they're less dense, then obviously the land isn't all serving the trees. So in either which case, we're going to say, oh, or in this third option, which is shehik disham beze achar ze, you did one at a time. Okay, first you said, I'm makdish this tree. Then you said, I'm makdish that tree. Then you said, I'm makdish that tree. At that point, we don't view this as a continuum of three trees. You need a minimum of three trees to say that all, everything in between is hekdish. So if you did it b'zachar zeh, harei zeh lo ekdish et hakarka v'lo et ha'ilanot shebenehem. Okay, then only the trees themselves are hekdish, which you're going to now value based on what each tree is worth. But you don't view them as this joint thing, which basically then goes into the category of your steachuzah. Because the assumption is here, you weren't makdish your sadeh, you were makdish a bodeh tree. Right? The assumption here, this goes back to lots of things we're going to see in another case today, with shichacha, where three is this magic number, right? That as soon as you, right, if you leave, if you forget one behind, you forget two behind, fine, we say that's shichacha. But once you forget three already, that's a whole unit. You obviously didn't mean to leave it, right? We allow you to collect it all. So three is this magic number that it's already going to be considered. Once there's three trees, it's significant. It's the field. It's called the field. Once it's called the field, the steachuzah, it goes by the Torah of this chamishim shekel. When it's just ilanot bodedim, individuals, or this whole field can't be called a steachuzah because a steachuzah is going to have to be, right? It's when the trees are growing within this area, 10 to that particular size, right, which is 2,500 square amot. By the way, we talked about this measurement before. So it's 10 trees in that kind of area. Then we're going to say it's a steachuzah, and that's viewed as a sadeh, and we're going to say that it goes with the steachuzah, 50 shekel. But any more dense, less dense, no, they're just considered that you were makdish the trees, not the karka, and not any little trees that sprouted up in between. Okay, so Leficha keshehu podeh. So therefore, what's going to be the halacha? Since you're not makdish, not the karka, not the ilanot, when he does the pidyon, podeh ta'ilanot b'shov yehem, right? He does the ilanot, he values them at exactly what the trees are valued at. V'lo od ela, in another case they're going to say now, afilu hikdisha ta'ilanot, V'chazar v'hikdish et hakarka. Even if, let's say, I do the ilanot one after the other. First I'm makdish one, then I'm makdish the other, then I'm makdish the third. And let's say they're in an area of 10 to a beit se'ah, but I did them each individually, and then I went ahead and said, now, according, if I did one after the other, the whole field is not mukdash, but, or the, right, the karka underneath, not the whole field anyway wouldn't be, but the karka underneath those three trees. But then I said that the karka is mukdash. So now what would you think? Would this go by steachuzah? Because at this point, you've got your trees and your karka, but not. Because what does it say here? Kishu podeh, since he did it in that order, okay, each tree individually, we're going to treat everything individually, and it doesn't count that he was makdish the steachuzah. Therefore, kishu podeh, podeh ta ilanot b'shoviyehen, right, your podeh, each, the value of each of the trees, v'chozeru podeh beit zera chomer sorim b'chamishim shekel kesef. You, how does it work? This is actually, right, it's a huge chumrah, because now you're going to have to pay double, basically. You're going to, since you were makdish the karka at the end, so you were makdish the isteachuzah. So the karka, you're going to have to redeem at your rate of 50 shekel for the chomer sorim. Okay? But the trees, since you were makdish the trees first on an individual basis, each one separately, you're going to also have to pay pidyon for the trees. So if you did it all at the same time, the three trees, okay, that would include the karka, you'd have to pay 50 shekel. If you do one, two, three separately, and then you do the karka, you have to pay both the chamishim shekel and the shovi of each of the trees. Okay? So what does this have to do with our case? Okay, if you remember what we were up to, we're trying to prove what? Oh, I'll just remind you at the end, it'll make it easier. That Rabbi Shimon must be the Tana of this Braita. And if he's the Tana of this Braita, what's the context of this Braita? What does this Braita mean? That if you're Magdish, you're Magdish Ba'ayin Ra'a. Okay, so now we're going to see. So, Mane. E Rabbi Akiva. Ha'amar mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher. Now, what's the relevant one for mocher ba'ayin yafa? Okay, to say that this bright is mocher ba'ayin ra'a, because the last case says if you're makdish the ilanot and then you're makdish the karka, what's the obvious? That when you're makdish the ilanot, it doesn't include the karka, right? So if it doesn't include the karka underneath them, then obviously it's because makdish ba'ayin ra'a makdish. Right? Otherwise, we'd assume that when you're makdish the ilan, it included the karka underneath. And here, it's obvious that it doesn't include the karka. So, Rabbi Akiva, ha amar bocher ba'ayin yafa mocher, right? This is going to be easy now. Because if we're assuming that the braita means mocher ba'ayin ra'a, which it does, that's obvious. So, I'm sorry, makdish ba'ayin ra'a makdish. So, it certainly can't be Rabbi Akiva who holds that mocher or makdish is mocher is ba'ayin yafa. And right, so Rabbi Akiva ha'amar mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher b'chol shekein makdish, right? He obviously holds the same thing for the makdish. I rabbanan ha'amre mocher hu de ba'ayin ra'a mocher aval makdish ba'ayin yafa makdish. Can't be chachamim, because chachamim, we already said, that was our Mishnah, that when it comes to mocher, you're mocher ba'ayin ra'a, but when it comes to makdish, since you're doing it for the mikdash, right, we're assuming you're doing it with more, just like with the matana, you're giving a gift. You do it wholeheartedly, you're including extra. You'd also be including extra in the hakdasha, your sanctification here, aval, or your dedication to the Beit HaMikdash. So now it can't be chachamim. So therefore, elapshita, who's left? Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, remember he said, he disagreed that makdish is makdish everything, right? He said, if you're makdish your field, we're not including the gat, we're not including the boar and the other stuff. We're only including the charuv and the shikma. So it must be Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, aliba deman. Okay, so now if it's going to be Rabbi Shimon, so Rabbi Shimon according to who though? Who does he hold like? So e aliba de Rabbi Akiva. He can't possibly, because we didn't ever say there was a three-way machloket. When it comes to mechira, there's a two-way machloket. Either it's mocher ba'ayim yafa or mocher ba'ayim ra'a. So he's got to hold by one of them and kind of veer off from there. So who does he hold like? So e aliba de Rabbi Akiva ha'amar mocher ba'ayim yafa mocher v'chol shekein makdish. Right? He can't possibly, and this is where we're going to show that he obviously cannot hold by Rabbi Akiva, because if he held like Rabbi Akiva, he would clearly say the makdish ba'ayim yafa. So elapshita aliba de rabbanan. Okay, he must be holding like chachamim, but again, he veers from chachamim. So what's the point of contention between them? Where are they really arguing? Kasavar Rabbi Shimon ki hecha de mocher ba'ayin ra'a mocher makdish nami ba'ayin ra'a makdish u'mashayar ara. Right? What does he say? He agrees with chachamim that makdish that mocher ba'ayin ra'a mocher, but he then says just like the mocher ba'ayin ra'a is mocher, likewise the makdish ba'ayin ra'a makdish. U'mishayar ara. Okay? That's what he says. So now we basically established that Rabbi Shimon must be holding like Chachamim and just takes them one step further than Chachamim themselves are willing to go. Right? Chachamim, stop at the Mocher. Rabbi Shimon says, no, he takes it one step further and he says even the Makdish. So clearly our attempt to answer this contradiction, okay, let's just go back so we remember where we're up to because it's quite a complicated daf. Go back to the first chart on the page. We had that Rabbi Shimon says, you're not Mishayar Karka if you're Makdish, right there, your field. You keep the Ilanot and you keep the Kark. And the Karka belongs to the Hekdesh, right? And that's why in the end, the Charuv and the Shikma are going to be Hekdesh, right? In other words, you meant to leave them for yourself, but the fact that they get nutrients from the ground means they have Hekdesh, I like to say, in their blood, right? It's like there's Hekdesh in their sap, okay? And therefore, they're Hekdesh. Whereas Rav Huna said, Rav Huna and Rabbi Shimon, you remember, they're talking about different things. Rabbi Shimon's talking about Makdish, and Rabbi Huna's talking about Mocher. Okay? But Rav Huna says when you sell your field, but it's the same concept because Rabbi Shimon's holding that the Makdish is like the Mocher. And Rav Huna says that the Mocher Sadeh without Ilanot is Mishayar Karka. So we wanted to say he holds like Chachamim and he holds like Rabbi Akiva, but you can't possibly say that Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Akiva. That is clear. So now, before they answer the question, or give a different answer to this question, they raise an additional question, which is going to somewhat lead them to the next Now they're going to say it's not just that Rav Huna and Rabbi Shimon contradict each other, but Rabbi Shimon contradicts himself. How does he contradict himself? Ve'elakasha ho'il v'yonkim mistei hekdesh. What does Rabbi Shimon say? Rabbi Shimon says in the Mishnah, the reason for our Mishnah, he doesn't say this in the Mishnah, there was a braita on it, we said, that Rabbi Shimon says, why is it the makdish et hasadeh lo ikdish ala charuva murchav sadana shikma? Because the trees are yonek mistei hekdesh, which means what? Which means that your magdish, the karka under the trees, right? So wait one sec. Right. According to this, what does it mean? If when you dedicate the land, right, what's the assumption? That the land underneath the trees,
dedicate the land, it's not the same as dedicating the trees.
Dedicate the land, you're makdish the charuv, and that's because, right. If you were mocher ba'ayin yafa, right, and you were makdish ba'ayin yafa, then what would that mean? You would be makdish even the karka under the trees. So wait a minute. That means that when he says that you're makdish the karka under the trees, it's because you're makdish ba'ayin yafa. But we just explained in this other braita that you're makdish ba'ayin ra'a. Okay, you follow? So Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah seems to, how did we even suggest that Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Akiva? Because that's what that's what's implied in the Mishnah. The Makdish Tasadeh Lo Makdish Charuv Shemurkav Sadan Shikma. That's because Ho Ilvion Kimi Stehekdesh. That's because Makdish Ba'ayin Yafa Makdish. He even gives the karka under the trees when he keeps the karka the trees for himself, right? Which in the end the trees don't become his own, but it's lechore. He tries to keep the trees for himself, but they turn out being hekdesh because they're getting it from the ground. But if he holds, so that means makdish ba'ayin yafa, even the karka under the trees. And in this braita, gishu te ilanot b'chazar v'ikdish ta karka, right? What did we say? When he was makdish the ilanot, he wasn't makdish the karka underneath. So now we're going to say that Rabbi Shimon himself, there's a contradiction within divrei Rabbi Shimon atzmam. So therefore, what's the Gemara going to say? Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah must not have been talking l'shitato. Okay? Ela Rabbi Shimon l'divrehem derabanan kamar lehu. He was speaking l'shitat chachamim. In other words, he holds mocher and makdish is ba'ayim ra'ah. Doesn't include the karka. But what was he saying? According to you, chachamim, okay, you would at least agree with me, even though you hold what? That makdish is ba'ayin yafa makdish. Well, that's exactly it. What is he saying? If you're going to say, chachamim, that when it comes to the mocher, it's mocher ba'ayin ra'ah. But when it comes to the makdish, you're makdish ba'ayin yafa, then what's going to happen? Then the karka underneath those trees, according to what you're saying, is hekdesh, which means the trees should be hekdesh. But therefore, what's he going to say? Only the trees are going to be hekdesh in that field. But the boar and the gat shouldn't be included in your hekdesh. In other words, when you want to move off from your mocher ba'ayin ra'ah and say, well, the makdish is makdish ba'ayin yafa, maybe you would only say that regarding things that are yonekim in a karka. Okay, those things will be included, but don't go so far as to say also the boar and the gat, which have nothing to do with the land itself. And Chachamim are going to say, no, 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 you're wrong. We hold across the board, makdish ba'ayin yafa.
Okay, also they're in the karka.
Right, they're in the karka. Yes. So this is let's read it inside. El Rav Shimon Devarim Derabanan Kamar Lehu Lididi. According to me, ki eichi de mocher ba'ayin ra'ah mocher Mocher ba'ayin ra'ah mocher, makdish nami ba'ayin ra'ah makdish, right? I think, just like your mocher ba'ayin ra'ah, like you said, I think also makdish nami ba'ayin ra'ah makdish. V'shiyure mishayir, right? And therefore, the land underneath the trees he also left for himself, which means that the charuv and the shikma are not going to be hekdesh because they're yonek from karka that's his own. But lididchu, but l'shitatchem, right? And that obviously doesn't appear in the Mishnah. We're making this up, right? The Gemara is answering this because they can't make sense of it any other way. So they're assuming that he must say that. But liditru, according to you, odu li miha, at least admit to me, de lo hikdish ela charuva merkava sadana shikma. Right? Tell me at least when you're going to say mocher ba'ayin, that makdish ba'ayin yafa is only relating to the land and things that then grow from the land because they're yonek from the karka. But I assume that you don't mean the boar and the gat and all those other things which are not part of the land. V'amre le Rabbanan lo shna. But Rabbanan say, no, we don't distinguish. We think Makdish has a generous heart. He's including everything, or I would say a generous religious perspective, right? He wants to give everything to God, right? The heart would go more with giving a matana. This would, I don't know how you would define it exactly, but a generous religious attitude. He wants to give it all to the Hekdesh, and it would include even the boar and the God. Okay. Now, we're going to say, wait a minute. B'mai ukim tala, ki Rabbi Shimon. So according to this, what did we say? This Brayta, now we're going back to the Brayta. So we've resolved, okay? We're back to the first chart on the page. We now have a different terutz, which is that Rabbi Shimon seems to be saying, Amakdish sadeh b'li lanot lo mashayar karka, that's shitat chachamim, okay? That's according to shitat chachamim. But Rabbi Shimon himself would say, ayin ra'ah. And therefore, there's no contradiction from that Mishnah. Remember, the Mishnah seemed to, the Braita seemed to contradict our Mishnah. Now we very simply say our Mishnah is relating to chachamim shita, whereas the Braita is relating to Rabbi Shimon shita. And Rabbi Shimon actually, even though he appears in the Mishnah, it's not really his shita in the Mishnah. He's just talking l'fi chachamim. He says, chachamim, you should at least agree with me about this. And they say, no, we don't. Okay? Now we're moving on to understanding this Braita. We're now going to say, how can you say this Braita is Rabbi Shimon? We're going to have a problem with it. Okay? Based on some other shita of Rabbi Shimon. That has to do with this de achuzah. Okay? So now, b'mayu kimtala, who did you attribute this Braita to? Ki Rabbi Shimon, right? You said it was Rabbi Shimon, this Braita. But ema seifa, but wait a minute, the last part of this Mishnah seems to go against some other shita of Rabbi Shimon. What did it say, that last case? Remember this case? He was makdish the ilanot one by one. Bechazar v'hikdish et hakarka. Then he was makdish the karka. Kishuhu podeh. Podeh te ilanot b'shov yehem. B'chozer v'podeh b'etzer ha-chomer sorim b'chamishim shekel kesef. This is the case we discussed for a while, that he's going to have to, when he does his pidyon, do each of the trees individually, and then the karka, as if it's karka se'achuzah, right? He has to basically pay double pidyon. Because pidyon for the trees, and then pidyon, right, not exactly double in worth, but two values. Whereas if he did the whole thing at once, what would we say? It would just be a se'achuzah. So now they have a separate question, which is this. V'i Rabbi Shimon lezo batar pidyon v'nifriku agav arayhu. D'hashamina lezo Rabbi Shimon da'azio batar pidyon. Now we have a separate issue. What happened in this case? There was a series of events that happened. Let's just go through the chronology. One tree, then the next tree was Makdish, then the third tree was Makdish, then it was Makdish the Karka, and now after he's Makdish everything, he wants to do his pidyon. He goes to do his pidyon, and he's got to do it based on the order of how he did it, right? And not based on what? What could you say? Maybe at the moment, right now, that he does the pidyon, okay, what is lezo batar pidyon? It means when we evaluate how much you owe, we evaluate it based on the moment that you do the pidyon, the moment that you decide to put this into money, that's when we evaluate it. Now, at this point, what's going on? He's already got three trees in Esteachuzah. He was Makdish the trees. He was Makdish the Karka. At this point, if we go after pidyon, what will we say? This is just a classic Esteachuzah case. Does it matter the order of events, right? If you say Lezal Batar pidyon, you're basically saying we don't care what the order of events was. What matters to us is what's the bottom line right now. The bottom line right now is he was Makdish Esteachuzah. Three trees within this area, right? And that means the trees and the ground underneath, which is considered a steachuzah. So it shouldn't matter the order, which means that forget about the issue of Makdish ba'ayim ra'ah yafa. That's irrelevant here. What's relevant here is that now at this point, it's a steachuzah. And Rabbi Shimon, in another place, which we're going to see right now, holds that we go batar pidyon. We go based on the moment of pidyon, which means that it shouldn't matter the order. And according to this, if the bright is really Rabbi Shimon, l'shitato, and he's consistent in everything he says, then this should actually be a se'achuzah. And he should be podeh based on just the land alone, the chamishim shekel, and he shouldn't have to do the trees. Now, how do we know that Rabbi Shimon holds this? I'll just, because it's a very complicated sugya, I'm trying to tell you the end first so that you can follow where we're going. So what's going to happen in the end is we're going to say that we're going to bring a case where he holds, we go batar pidyon, but then we're going to say that there's a unique drasha there that makes him say it's specifically there, but not, it wouldn't apply to our case. Okay? That's in the end how we're going to answer it. Now we're going to see his case. Titania. Minayin lelokech sadeh me'aviv, v'hikdisha, v'achar kach met aviv. Okay, let's, before we even get to the rest, let's explain what happens. Somebody buys a field from his father. Now, if he buys a field from his father, it's no longer a steachuzah. What happens? When his father dies, it reverts back to being a steachuzah because he then gets it by inheritance. In other words, it's a weird thing because he bought it, right? So how could it then be his based on inheritance? But that's the, right? That's the assumption that when his father dies, he then, because things revert back, right? It's ancestral land. It's land that's been in the family. So his father sold it to him at some point. But when the father dies, it reverts back to being an ancestral field. Okay?
But then why would he? I'm just trying to
say why would he buy it? Right. Well, he wants it earlier.
Okay.
He wants the property before the father dies. Okay? Maybe the father needed money and he wanted to, who knows?
Yeah, right. Okay.
Okay? Right. Why he did this is, again, it could be a very theoretical case that rarely happens. But if this were to happen, what do they want to do? They want to find a case, and this is why it could be purely theoretical. They want to have a case where something is at some point a stay miknet, and at a different point a se'achuzah, right? It could revert back. It started out a se'achuzah, it became a stay miknet, and then reverts back to being a se'achuzah. So the question is, what happened at what stage? So this is all going to be based on this drasha. Maybe I'll read the pasuk first, and then you'll see. The pasuk about the stay miknet that we read before says like this. Ve'im et stei miknato asher lo misteachuzato. Now this is a very strange pasuk. What does it mean to be a stei mikneh, which is not a steachuzah? A stei mikneh, by definition, is not a steachuzah. So there's obviously something extra in this pasuk that they want to teach you, that it must be including, right, some sort of stay mikneh that could have been a steh chuzah. You follow that there's some connection there between the stay mikneh and the steh chuzah. So we're going to have two approaches here as to how we darshan this pasuk. So the first opinion is to say like this, and it's Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. So if someone buys the field from his father, he's magdish the field while it's a stay mikneh. V'achar kach met aviv. Then his father dies. And then it reverts back before he does the pidyon, right? There's the hekdesh, and then, right, there's the shat hekdesh, and then there's the shat pidyon. And when it was hekdesh, it was mikneh. In the middle, the father dies, so it goes to being a steachuzah. And so with the shat pidyon, it's a steachuzah. Whereas in the shat hekdesh, it was a stay mikneh. That's why this case is exactly comparable. It's that something in the time you were makdish it in the breita, it wasn't a sdeach huzah, right? You were makdish each tree individually. It wasn't called a field because each one was individual. Then it became a field before you did the pidyon. So, minayin lelokach sdeh me'aviv, v'hikdisha, v'achar kach met aviv, minayin shetehe lefanav kisdeach huzah. Here it comes. It says, because you're doing the pidyon while it's a steach huzah, we're going to treat it like a steach huzah, which is exactly the opposite of what we said in the previous case. Talmud lamar, v'im et steh miknato asher lo misteach huzato. They're going to darshan this pasuk, and they're going to say, what do we learn from this pasuk? What's a steh mikneh, that you do the pidyon like a steh mikneh, the value of the field itself and not based on this amount, this 50 shekel? Sadeh she'ein ru'uya liyot sadeach huzah. It's only referring to a field that can't possibly be a steach huzah. Yatzta zo shiruya liot steach huzah. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Shimon. It excludes this case where the steh mikneh can revert back to being a steach huzah, and obviously only in the case where it actually did revert, right? If he did the pidyon while it was still a steh mikneh, so before the father died, then obviously he would do the pidyon based on the value of the field. But it means a sadeh that can revert back, okay? So, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir Omer, minayin lelokech. Rabbi Meir is going to darshan a different halacha from this. He doesn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. He says, minayin lelokech sadeh me'aviv, umet aviv. He bought the field, then the father died, v'achar kach yigdish. Then he was makdish the field when? When the field reverted back to being a steach huzah, right? Not the pidyon, right? It had to be at the zman ha-hekdish. How do you know that this is counted as a steach huzah? Talmud lamar, ve'im et steh miknato shelom steach huzato. He darshans it differently. He says, sadeh she'ena steach huzah. Yatzta zo shehi steach huzah. He's saying it only excludes something that is now a steach huzah at the time of the hekdesh. Okay. So now, let's go back to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Now they want to prove that Rabbi Shimon says, lezo batar pidyon. Ve'ilu Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Okay, there's a bunch of different girsas here. Okay, we'll read, right, afilu hechad yekdish v'achar kach met havasteach huzah, right? Okay, I guess we'll read it like this. Hechad emet aviv v'achar kach yekdisha. Right, Rabbi Shimon learns from here, in the case where met v'achar kach yekdisha, lo tzrich ekra. He says, for the case that Rabbi Meir brought up, Rabbi Meir tried to darshan, if the father dies, and then he's makdish, he says, you don't need a pasuk for that. That's obvious, right? That's, to say Rabbi Meir that it was right? It was a steach huzah, then he bought it, it was a steh mikneh, then the father died, it was a steach huzah, then he was makdish it, you certainly don't need a chiddush on the pasuk for that. That's obvious. Obviously, at the time of hekdesh, it was a steach huzah, then obviously we're going to go by steach huzah. Who cares about the history that you purchased it from your father and then it reverted back? That's irrelevant. So therefore, he says, ki itzrich kra, the pasuk must be needed for what? Heche dikdisha v'achar kach met aviv. Menalehu. Okay, so now he says, imehai kra emal chid Rabbi Meir hu da'ata. If it's just, so now they're going to say like this. If they really learned it out from the pasuk, this is why the girsa is a little problematic. But what he's saying now is, if just it was a drasha from the pasuk, then you could have said, that's why the first part doesn't really work so well. That's why I think the other way I read it when I was preparing doesn't have that nosach in the beginning. What he's saying like this is, if you wanted to learn it out from the pasuk, you would have said the opposite of what I said a minute ago, which is, l'chad Rabbi Meir hu da'ata, that the pasuk is coming to teach you the halacha of Rabbi Meir. Elalav, it must be that he's not really learning it from the pasuk. He's learning it from this concept, da'azle batar pidyon, that you go based on the pidyon, okay? And therefore, his shita must be across the board that we always follow the pidyon. And even though, and this is very problematic, even though the Braita says he darshens it from the pasuk, really, he would have said it even without the drasha from the pasuk. Because if he really was trying to say there was extra words in the pasuk, well, you could have used that to teach you Rabbi Meir. So you have to say it like this. What motivated him to darshan the pasuk? The way he darshaned it. This is all based on the question. What comes first, the halacha or the drasha? What motivated him to darshan the pasuk the way he did and not like Rabbi Meir was because he holds that Liz Abatar Pidyon. Follow? Okay? So therefore, we're assuming that he must hold, we go by the moment of Pidyon. So now they say, no. Okay, and what's the problem with saying Azla Bas HaPidyon? Then our Braita, where it says, Ikdish Chilano, Bachazar Vikdish Takarka, you go by both, it should go after Pidyon. At the moment you do the Pidyon, at this point it's all Sechuzah, it should be all treated as one. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Le'olam Ba'alma Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, Lo Azla Bas HaPidyon. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon don't go across the board, Lazla Bas HaPidyon, and that's not why they did it, they said it like this. They said, no, here they actually, right, again, which comes first, the halacha or the drasha? It wasn't that they had this halachic concept that they attached to the pasuk. It's the opposite. They looked at this pasuk and said, hey, this pasuk is begging to be interpreted in some other way. And therefore, they said, therefore, in this particular case, where a stay mikneh turns back to a stay achuzah, but before the time of Pidyon, then we're going to go Abatar Pidyon. But not in the case of the Ilanot. Follow? And then we're going to distinguish between the two cases. It's not a general principle. We've seen this many times. It's just because of the specific drasha and the pasuk. That's why it's like that. Okay? So we started with saying they were motivated to darshan the pasuk that way because of their halachic understanding of this lezo batar pidyon. In the end, they say, no, it's the reverse. They don't have this concept of lezo batar pidyon. It's only in this specific case because of the drasha from the pasuk, in which case it doesn't apply to our braita, in which case you could still say our braita holds like Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold across the board lezo batar pidyon. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, right? Lo lam ba'alma, lo azle batar pidyon. Ba'acha krash kechu v'darish. What did they say? If really you wanted the pasuk, we said before, but wait a minute. If you had this Yitur Lashon, so you could have darshan Rabbi Meir. So they say, no. If you wanted to darshan Rabbi Meir, im ken lichtov kra, v'im et stei miknato asher lo achuzato. Inami, stei achuzato. Inami sadeh. Okay, in other words, you could have said, ki im et stei miknato asher lo achuzato, or asher lo sadeh. Okay? But achuzatoma, inami, how do you read this? Inami, sadeh, right? It could have either said, inami steh, it could have said, asher lo steh, wait, the pasuk is asher lo mi, right. The pasuk says, asher lo mi steh achuzato. It could say, im et steh miknato, asher lo steh achuzato. You follow? It didn't need to have the mem there. You follow? Every time we do this, right, this is the game they play, they say, if you really want to darshan that, you could have darshaned it if it had said imlo achuzato or imlo ste achuzato. Why does it say mi ste achuzato or why does it say ste achuzato? Both of them, right? Then you could have darshaned sadeh she'eno ste achuzah yatzdazo shi ste achuzah. Okay, v'ilu v'rabbi Yehuda v'rabbi Shimon. Oh, I'm sorry, I went to the wrong place. Inami stechuzato. So my asher lo mi stechuzato. Since it has all those extra words that really, right, it's more than just one extra word. It's a bunch of extra things. What do we darshan? Their drasha, which is etche. Now we yaliot stechuzah. Yatzda zoshu yaliot stechuzah. Okay, and therefore they darshan more. Again, it's not always the most convincing argument, but that's what they say. Okay, let's do a little bit more. Amar Rav Huna, Charuv Hamurka v'Sadana Shikma, Torat Ilan Alav v'Torat Karka Alav. We're now going to have two cases where each thing could be viewed in different situations in different ways, right? The Charuv is sometimes treated as a tree in and of itself, and sometimes it's treated like Karka. Okay, Torat Ilan Alav, in which case do we call it a Torat Ilan? Hecha da'akdish ozavin shtei ilanot. V'hai yesh lo Karka... V'hayesh lo karka tora karka. Okay, so how could, how is it treated like an ilan if you're magdish one after the other, right? Or you're magdish two ilanot in a field. So then we're going to treat the ilanot as ilanot. V'hayesh lo karka, which means what? Torat karka lav delo mizdabin agav ara. It's considered karka to the extent that what? That... that it's viewed as its own unique entity. If you're selling the field, by the way, this explains better than I explained it before. If you're selling the field, why does it not include the charuv and the shikma? Because those are considered fields in by themselves. They're considered their own fields. So when I sell you my field with a charuv inside, since the charuv itself is considered its own field, meaning it has torat karka alav, it's called karka, it's called land, therefore, I wasn't selling you two things. I was only selling you one. So it obviously doesn't include anything that in and of itself is called karka. It's called like its own field.
Then
okay?
It's called karka before it's sadeh.
It's right. But the sadeh and karka are synonymous here. That's what they're basically saying. Mm-hmm. It's considered like its own land. Okay? The Amar of Huna. Now we have another case. We're going to end with the shichacha that I said we get back to. Shichacha, it says if you leave an omer in the field. Omer is a bundle and a gadish is a pile. So we're going to say that shichcha only applies when it's an omer, not a pile. And shichcha also only applies when you only leave over two omerim. But once you leave three, it's already not shichcha. So now they're going to say, omer sheyesh bo sataim, if you have a very large pile, okay, so the a very large bundle, is that called a pile or is it called a bundle? Okay, so depends in what context. It's both considered Tarat Omer Alav, Vit Tarat Gadish Alav. It's both called a bundle and called a pile. Because it's so big, it could also be called a pile. How does it work? Tarat Omer Alav, Dishnei Omerim Shechecha, Shnayim Vuhu Einam Shechecha. It's considered an Omer. For what purposes? If you have three Omerim, then it's already not Shechecha. So let's say you forget two, and then you have this third bundle. The third bundle combines with the other two to be considered another omer, and you can pick them all up. But how is it called Tarat Gadish Alav? Ditznan omer sheyesh bo sataim, shechecho ein shechecha. But if just that one bundle was left, since it's such a big bundle, that's called a gadish. You don't have to leave it over. So either which way, we're mekel on it. You follow? And it's not called shechecha. Because it's so large, it could be considered not omer bichlal, and it's not even kashur to dine, right? So it's kashur to dine shechecha in one hand, that it could be patra the others to allow you to pick them up, but it's also, if it was left by itself, you'd be allowed to pick it up also. It's also not shechecha. So there, it's just another thing that could be considered in certain circumstances ilan, certain senses karka, certain senses omer, certain circumstances gadish. Okay. And here. And that's me.